Hi, I'm Marcus, and you're listening to the Something Something cast on the Inside Voice, Outside Joke. Oh, fuck.
Hi, this is Eric.
Augustus.
And Martin.
From Two-Legged Tie, and you're listening to James Hatton and Podcast Rob on the Something Something cast on the Inside Joke, Outside Voice podcast network.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, this is a podcast.
Okay, here we go.
This is Toner from the Nerdcast podcast. And you are listening to Deadpan Fury Presents Wow Jizo with Marcus on the Inside Joke, Outside Voice podcast network.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, I'm Marcus, and you're listening to the Something Something cast here on the Inside Joke, Outside Voice podcast network.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to part two of our two-year anniversary here at the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
Very good. I'm James Hatton with
Podcast Rob.
And on the dais we have Ms. Madison and Mr. Bill from Wild Pig Comics.
Just do it for us.
Sure.
We won't introduce ourselves.
Oh, sorry. Say who you are.
Oh, and this is James, the voice, Hatton of all sorts of things.
Yeah. I'm Madison Bartholomew.
Nice. Oh, wow. You look so pretty today.
Oh, thank you very much. I touched up.
You need to shave, Madison.
I've been saying it for... Anyway.
Is that visible?
Probably not what we're... Anyway.
Rocket Raccoon.
I thought you were going to be...
Stubbly. Hey, look, we have to start the show over again.
Starting as usual.
Say from Charms.
Sega.
Say Carl Ramrod. Say Carl Ramrod.
So, if you did not listen to the first episode of this two-part extravaganza...
Go and do it right now.
I don't understand.
We'll wait.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. You should have listened.
Exactly. Seriously.
Has it really
We've had these
weeks?
People waiting in this comic book store for 2 weeks.
They are so older. Hungry. Yeah.
We've run out of Snicker bars.
Yeah, they're eating nickel comic books. They're out of Robin 2s.
We don't have nickel comic
and
books.
And X-Force number 1s.
Nah, there's a Dunkin' Donuts next door.
That's
fine.
True.
That's 24 hours.
So we are here discussing the MCU Phase 2 and beyond.
Yep, we ended last episode with Avengers Age of Ultron and are now forging right ahead into Ant-Man.
Which is fantastic. I look forward to hearing the discussion about Ant-Man since... haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's been out for 4 weeks now, and you haven't seen it yet.
It's been 4 weeks, really?
Well, by the time they listen to the show, it's been out for 4 weeks.
Oh, so just lie.
Meta.
It was a fun little movie.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
I didn't like that it didn't stick to such source material. I would have gone a different direction.
Yeah.
But Bill, did you see it?
I did see it.
Excellent. And Rob, you saw it?
Yes, I did.
All right, you guys have a blast.
All right. Rob, let's talk.
It was the lightest of the Marvel movies as far as tone goes. But I did enjoy it. I really liked it.
I found no fault with it, but that's like the best thing I can say about it.
Okay.
Is that I found no fault with it, is that it was not bad at any point. It was never not enjoyable, but that was about it.
Here's my question. So my concern was, you look at all of the actors that are currently playing all of the Avengers and all of the... like the Guardians, and Chris Pratt maybe being the exception, all of them I see as sort of action movie guys. Do you see, I had a hard time going, Paul Rudd's going to be part of the Marvel Universe? Like, how does he fit in the mix for you?
He did, because you can tell right off the bat that he was going to be a different sort of character, and it didn't feel out of place in the movie, and I think it's, I don't see him being out of place in the bigger scheme of things.
Okay.
I think he's going to fill a very Spider-Man-ish kind of role because most people look at Peter Parker and they look at him as kind of a wisecracking, kind of finding the humor, making the jokes in instances, whereas you feel Cap and Iron Man and Thor are a lot more grounded and a lot more serious. This had that lighter tone to it, and the Scott Lang character definitely had that lighter feel to it.
I think that's my concern. I think that's that the concern would be that these movies where they have their kind of nods to joke, that with Paul Rudd, who's he's a very comedic actor, I was concerned that having the comedic actors mixing it up with the serious actors might be, I don't know, it just feels like, I don't know whether I'll see Paul Rudd having a conversation with Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., and going, this feels like one movie, not two characters from two movies meeting up, if that makes sense.
But if done right, I think it can be really entertaining, because Scott Lang definitely plays kind of the everyman in this movie, okay. Which decidedly Tony Stark is not, and Bruce Banner is not.
True.
Mm. So if when you see the Ant-Man movie, I can very easily picture a minute and a half long conversation between the two of them, Robert Downey Jr. walking off screen, and Scott Lang kind of going like, wow, that was Tony Stark. Like, that would fit in with the universe and with the Ant-Man movie, and I don't think it would be out of place at all.
Fair enough.
You know, with that that Scott Lang character, Tony Stark is probably a guy that he would have tried to rip off.
Well, that's probably true, too, yeah.
In his pre-costume days.
There was the one scene that really struck me and the audience in the theater that we saw.
Oh, by the way, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Ant-Man yet, but it's been out for 6 months now.
Seriously. The very first scene of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the scene that the directors of the movie knew was either going to make or break the movie. Because it kind of starts off in the 80s. And you've got the PimTech board of directors.
Oh, yeah.
And in walks Henry Pym. And he's literally...
And that's Michael Douglas,
wait,
right?
Hank
yeah.
Pym?
Yeah.
Yes, Michael Douglas.
That wasn't PimTech board of directors. That was S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that was S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That was
okay,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Directors.
At the time. Yeah, because you've got Big Daddy Stark.
Same.
You've
right.
got... old lady Agent Carter,
right?
And then that other D-bag.
Yeah, the other D-bag. But in walks Michael Douglas, and he's early 40s.
Right.
And the audience in the movie theater just went, like when he walked in. It was the same visual effects group that did Skinny Steve from the first Captain America movie.
Gotcha. Where he's got, you know, tiny head.
De-aged Michael Douglas, and it was ridiculously amazing.
You're like Wall Street Michael, like Gordon Gekko's right here?
Yes. Okay. It was seamless. And the directors had said they were afraid that it was going to fall into Tron sequel territory.
Sure.
Because that did not look good at all. It looked very
it looked obvious.
Gumby-ish.
Yeah.
Whereas this
and
looked,
I love that movie, but it
this
obvious.
Looked absolutely flawless when he walked in. So they had me hooked right from the beginning.
Is that Hank Pym the kind of bastard that the Marvel comic universe kind of knows?
A bit, yeah. He's very brash. He's very in this movie he knows what he has on his hands, and he knows the ramifications of his discovery and how important it will be to the future of technology, and so he absolutely wants to keep it under wraps.
So and if this spoils stuff, please, I don't care. Is this also going to address Giant Man as well, or is this just Ant-Man?
That's a totally different movie.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, no, they didn't really touch on
they
that
didn't
at
touch
all.
On the Giant Man version?
No, they did okay. not.
Because in some, depending on Ultimates or the other, it's the same thing and the same Pym particles and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do you see, did the movie fit into what we're calling the next phase? Like, does it have a nod to the other stuff going on in the MCU?
No.
Yes.
What, does it?
Woo! Well, yeah. I would
okay, wait,
so.
Wait, go ahead.
Wait. Well, when they go to break into the old abandoned warehouse.
Oh, yes,
yes,
yes.
The one
yes,
by
yes.
Old Man Mithers?
Yes.
The one with the amusement park? Damn those kids.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for that incredible shrinking man.
Rory Raggy.
Scree.
That was really good.
I know.
The rest of this
scary.
Show will just be Scooby-Doo impressions.
But, yeah, the abandoned warehouse, it ends up not being abandoned, was almost like a 10-minute scene that ties
yes,
that whole
no,
into
okay,
the,
you're
the
right.
universe.
Yes.
So, okay, so... Does that have some sort of effect on the Infinity Gauntlet, the moving
no.
forward with any of that, or is it just to tie the movie into the universe?
It ties the movie into the universe, and long term, nothing Infinity Gauntlet is mentioned.
Sure,
but if you stay through till both stingers, mid credit and very very end of credit, you will see where it will impact, and he will become a member of that team, I have no doubt, by the time Infinity War comes around.
All right.
Yeah, the scene that we're referring to cements him in that universe, cements him as Avengers material.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no doubt that we're going to see, you know, this character hold his own with that team.
Yeah.
But the reason I said no was because it's really a breath of fresh air from the heavy nature, the world-bending nature of most of these other movies, where it's almost a joke, and I'm not spoiling, where you zoom out during the train fight scene,
right.
And you just see the whoop, whoop, dunk, where it just shows how this movie is so much more focused in scope on just one man's problems. At the same time, he's still saving the world, but...
Right.
Who's the big bad? I mean, is that a big spoiler? Like, don't want to.
No, you've seen it. It's Yellow Jacket.
Oh, it is Yellow Jacket. Yeah, okay.
It's Yellow Jacket. It's that sort of progression was obvious throughout the movie, and in fact, a little bit plot holey.
Yeah,
because I don't know why he became the big bad.
There were a lot of people that, going into it, who had seen previews of it, have said that it felt very Iron Man 1-ish.
Yes.
In the sense that here's a guy who found this really cool thing that he can do with it, and evil entity wants to turn it into a whole militarized thing, and we don't want that to happen, and they have a big fight at the end, and the good guy wins.
I've never seen that story.
Ant-Man kind of went the same way.
It actually blew my mind. First thing, when I walk out of the theater, because I think really weird things when the first thing when I walk out of a theater was I was going, why didn't he just ship use it for transportation?
Right.
He could shrink inorganic matter. Why not just revolutionize the entire shipping industry and make billions and billions of dollars forever?
Because superheroes?
Because super soldiers.
Right. Well, and it's Corey Stoll. So if you've ever seen him in anything else that he's done, which I think House of Cards is the biggest thing, he kind of plays a D-bag in that too. So, okay.
Which one is he in House of Cards?
He's the senator that they basically use in the first season.
He's the one that has an unfortunate trip to the garage.
Yes. Yes, listening to Light FM.
Yes.
Start the car, leave
lighter
the garage.
Lighter and lighter. Yeah.
Yeah, leave the garage door closed. There was an interesting article that I read where they said that Ant-Man has set up the Doctor Strange movie.
Really?
In the respect that...
Because Avengers 2 sets up Black Panther.
Well, yes, but without spoiling too much, there's the scene, the shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking scene.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
And they talk about it being a realm where time and space don't matter, and it's virtually a completely different dimension. And Marvel has come out and said, if people are okay with that and they can wrap their brain around that, then they will have no problem wrapping their brain around anything that Doctor Strange does.
Phase 4, Micronauts. Micronauts. Micronauts.
Is that a Marvel?
Can we get the speed?
Yeah,
got the guy
Marvel.
Who talked really, really fast to sell them?
The Micro Machines guy?
Yeah, that's exactly.
There you go.
That was what I was going for. Go.
You're just on a tiny car fixation today, aren't you?
Why wouldn't Ant-Man drive in a tiny car? He's a man with the power and strength and size of an ant.
Gets ants to push it. Oh. It's like Flintstones mobile.
Oh, you see his feet run with it?
Sure, why not?
Wow.
We're
oh, Mads, wow. You decided to...
Totally strange here.
What'd you think of the Ant-Man movie?
I'm excited about the Wasp.
Fair enough.
Yeah. The effects were really well done, too.
I'm going to tell you, I saw on Netflix, do you remember the name of it? What was the Netflix show about the creatures? The little ones?
Hidden Kingdoms.
Hidden Kingdoms. Dead serious. And this relates, I promise. It's a nature show narrated by Stephen Fry where they're showing, like, desert mice and these weird little shrews.
The majestic cockapoo.
Yeah, like really tiny animals. They use cameras down that low. They have, like, little tracking cameras. They're doing, like, full run things where they're showing this squirrel and chipmunks running around. And I was like, I hope they use all this for Ant-Man. Because they show these fight scenes as if these chipmunks are, like, cities tall. And it's just because they're using little cameras.
Visually, the effects were really well done. There's a scene that doesn't give a whole lot away. The first time he changes, he's hiding in a bathtub with the shower curtain pulled. And he's like, well, what does this button do? Boom, and all of a sudden he's super tiny.
Okay.
And his roommate comes in, obviously doesn't see him super tiny in the tub, turns the water on in the tub to take a shower. And they cut down to his level, and they did a really awesome job of showing what now looks like an expansive desert, but letting you realize that it's still a tub. And when the water hits, it's water coming out of a faucet.
Sure.
Yet the perspective makes it look like this giant tidal wave that is about to wash them away. They did a really good job of keeping
both of those perspectives. Can we discuss the problems that all these scientists have? When you turn yourself tiny, you have to be very cognizant of where and how you're doing that.
Well, he's not a scientist.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, he's not a scientist.
He's a guy who stole something.
He didn't know what that button did.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, there's a button on my glove. What is it?
Now
it's
like doing acid. You make sure you're in a safe space first, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Michael Douglas immediately goes on the mic in Scott's helmet and he goes, well, Scott, you're in for it now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that was kind of funny. But I thought it was a good movie.
Welcome to the tiny world. Hope you survive the experience.
And my first thought was Mike TV from Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And Lily Tomlin in The Incredible Shrinking Woman, where it's basically just the actor or actress standing in front of a huge movie screen that they're showing what's going on. I'm like, I hope they do that.
No, it wasn't that at all. Yeah, it wasn't that at all.
They did not pick safe spaces either.
That's true. That is true. Willy Wonka, not a safe space.
No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you do go see it, definitely stay through till both end credit sequences. It's definitely worth it.
If you see one movie about a tiny man this summer, let it be this one.
I was hoping for a little more out of Evangeline Lilly. I will say that her character was pretty much two-dimensional.
Yes.
Oh, agreed. Wow. We didn't see that coming.
She was...
Oh, come on, Freckles.
I am.
I've been...
Jack! Sawyer! Jack! Sawyer!
Freckles, we gotta go back.
I didn't start this.
I know,
but it shows up in every episode.
If
there wasn't some stupid Lost reference in our
Oh my god! Oh my god, there's a Lost reference in Buffy!
Kay?
I'm so excited. I found it.
We're doing a Buffy episode.
I found it twice.
It's
there's
on the
two
list.
Of them.
Okay. It's later.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Jeez. But if we didn't have a Lost reference somewhere in our 2-year anniversary, it would feel like it's not even a show.
Okay, fair enough.
That's right.
Find out this whole show is produced by Lindelof.
Is it?
I'm
it would
telling.
Explain a lot.
It really would.
Really
explain
would.
How we never know how to end
we
an episode.
Discuss this.
So that ties up phase 2 for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which brings us to the beginning of phase 3, which is going to come April or May of next year.
What's the first one on that docket?
Civil War, Captain America. Well, Captain America Civil War, even though it's really panning out to be like Avengers 2.46.
Yeah, I'm confused as to, and that's my one concern about the Civil War one is I love Winter Soldier. I think Winter Soldier's, I agree with Chris, it's my favorite. It's really up there. I'm concerned that it's not going to have the same heart or feeling as the other two Captain America movies. Because they feel like both of those movies taste well together.
Yeah, won't have the same feel as the... it might have the same tone as the first two, but definitely not going to have the same feel.
Sepia tone.
Anthony and Joe Russo, who directed Winter Soldier, they're directing Civil War, and they will also end up directing the two-part Infinity War.
Oh, they have all of it.
Yeah. They're doing the Avengers 3 both parts. So
that's actually really interesting.
It's really heartening because Winter Soldier was the best damn Marvel movie to come along.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
There we go. Teach you people to hold microphones.
I thought you were just doing a thing.
Yes, I was doing. I was doing my.
You were getting ready to talk.
Finally, the James has come back. Oh.
But not only do you have a ton of Avengers appearing in Civil War. But they're also introducing Spider-Man, Black Panther, are all going to be in Civil War. There are probably going to be more nods to Doctor Strange, which comes out.
Do we have an actor for Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
I have no idea who that is. Yeah, exactly. Let's click that link because I have no idea
who that guy is. And Tom Holland is going to be cast as Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
I'm concerned about the Peter Parker thing. I think it's fantastic that he's in the mainline Marvel U now. They could do a lot to screw it up, though, very quickly.
He was in...
this is Black Panther.
Yes. He was in The Express. He was in 42. He was in Draft Day, Gods of Egypt.
Well, so this is a guy who's been in a bunch of stuff I've never seen. Okay.
How much more can Marvel do than Sony to screw up the Spider-Man franchise? Just because I haven't liked...
I haven't seen. Yeah, I agree. I haven't seen since what, 2?
Yeah,
it's
three.
Like my X-Men
3 through amazing has been
less
terrible.
Than. Less than amazing.
Yeah, less than less.
Not
than
spectacular.
No.
Or all new.
No, definitely not all new.
Or web of.
No.
I'm out.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, you're right. I think there's a really good chance that they can only do good because they haven't done good in a while.
We've been promised no origin story, so we're going to get something fresh and new.
Okay.
We're going to get a novel villain, if I'm not mistaken.
For the Captain America movie?
For the Spider-Man movie.
Oh, the Spider-Man one. Okay.
Yeah.
Novel.
Rhino?
Somebody we haven't seen.
Yeah, Rhino was in one.
Period.
Turtle?
Yeah.
There's no turtle.
Cat?
Mysterio,
there's
I'm hoping.
There's a couple cats.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be phenomenal,
Mysterio
wouldn't it?
Would be great, as long as they don't make it, you know, guy with fishbowl head.
Oh, fish, yeah.
Well, then I'm out.
Yeah. It's
I like cloudy. The glass helmet.
I like the glass helmet in comics, but there is a spot when you look at reality and go, a man with a cloudy fishbowl head is not going to translate
it's
well.
It's a two-way mirror. He can see perfectly.
But he still has a giant fishbowl on his head. That's like a
does he?
Villain.
The master of illusion.
Yeah. It's still a tick villain.
Yeah.
Chairhead Chippendale.
To be fair, most Spider-Man villains.
Chairhead Chippendale was a badass.
I love Chairhead Chippendale, but that's the tick.
Yeah.
Most Spider-Man villains suck.
They really do.
What are we going to get? The Shocker? The man wrapped in a couch?
Yeah. The Quilted Wonder. When are we getting our Speedball movie?
Hope soon.
No.
We have Civil War coming up.
Right?
He came right out of Civil War's penance.
He's got to blow up a school.
Whoa.
They got to get on that.
Oh, my
that's
God.
How he does it. That's how it happens.
That's how Civil War begins.
Yeah, I don't really? See
I'm,
don't see.
Yeah,
the,
I'm not making
movie
things up.
Happening that
so
way.
The New Warriors. So to explain how Civil War happened in the comics to everybody, the New Warriors, who are a...
Newer oft, than the Old Warriors.
Oft-forgotten group of B-heroes. Are filming a reality TV show.
Oh, how cool.
And they are...
I would like to interrupt real quick. Audience members are sitting there doing the Warriors. Ching, ching, come out and play.
New Warriors!
They did it in like, as if it was, they knew right then.
And they...
I thought they were showing we were grasping for straws.
Yeah, fair enough. I let you guys know, we can dig it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were saying, Bill.
And they go after a group of villains who are hiding out in the town of Stamford, Connecticut.
Ooh.
And they realize too late that they've bitten off more than they can chew. And
oh, no.
An old Captain Marvel villain named of Nitro displays a phenomenal new power and
he was
blows
great on
up.
Gladiators.
Yeah, right?
American Gladiators.
Yeah,
great show.
And he gets the.
Yeah, and so they blow up, this town blows up, and the media blames superheroes.
Exactly.
Civil
yeah.
War
okay.
begins.
Yep.
Well, it's, yeah, the mutant
they,
registration.
They specifically,
well,
they blow up a
school. But the Superhero Registration Act.
Oh,
they need to register their powers, everything else, and some people are on board with it, some people are greatly against it, and it kind of splits the Avengers into two trains of thought, and that's where the whole thing goes, and one by one, most of the other heroes and even villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe pick one side or another.
Yeah.
Hey, I agree or no.
A lot of the villains actually go to the registration side because
yeah.
I think they
right.
get pardons and yep. then they get free reign to hunt down superhumans
yeah,
in the street.
Yeah, the ones that don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So what's wonderful, they're clearly not going to go that route directly, but I do think they set in Avengers 2.
Not blowing up the school,
right.
but the other route, yes.
I think with the way, since Tony saw the decimated universe and everybody dead in the last Avengers movie, I have a feeling he's going to be the voice of, look, we got to keep ourselves in check because this is what's going to happen.
Do you see that or do you see the other? I see it actually possibly going the other way.
Okay.
Opposite from the comics where Cap goes on the run. Cap is fighting against the law and Iron Man is pushing the law through.
But wasn't that the way in the comics?
That was the way how it happened in the comics.
Yeah.
I think it's going to go the other way because everything we've seen so far about Iron Man is about keeping his tech private.
No, I definitely see it going the way of the comics.
The only
reason
I see it going the way of the comics is because they have Captain America and Scarlet Witch at the very end. These are your new Avengers.
Yeah.
And it's the whole, like, okay, this is the government-sanctioned Super Avengers team made by S.H.I.E.L.D. We're all together as a united front of corporate America. I'm completely okay with the fact that I see it at the end of the movie, them going, oh, okay, we don't want to follow the big corporate megalithic overlord here. Plus, we're going to outer space next movie. I see it all kind of going, everybody, as every crossover goes, we group together to fight the big bad together. But I see Captain America being the voice of America.
I see him being the voice of, we've got to follow the rules. That's what Avengers 2 was, shaking your head. That's what Avengers 2 was. That was Avengers 2 was Captain America getting pissed at Tony Stark for not following the rules.
Right.
And going off and doing his own thing. And all the Iron Man movies have featured him fighting against the government to keep his tech in his hands.
Right. My point of view comes from the fact that at the end of the Avengers movie and into Iron Man 3, he had this whole PTSD syndrome mm-hmm. of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after Ultron 2, that's going to hit him again of where we came really close to screwing a whole lot of stuff up because we were trying to do our own thing. And I think Cap has a bad taste in his mouth from the first Avengers movie when he found out that Nick Fury was lying to them about having this other tech and the weaponry and everything else, where they broke into his whole computer system to find all those weapons. I think Cap is going to have a really bad taste in his mouth of letting the government decide how we're going to use our powers and what we're going to do.
Okay.
And
it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, I want to see whose side is
what. They're clearly not going to be on the same side.
No.
Cap and
Iron Man always have to fight.
Of course.
Yeah.
That is the Batman-Superman dynamic. They do it. They want the same thing, but they want it two different ways. I think we've laid out two interesting concepts for which way it can spin, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, Marvel, if you're listening.
And they are. Do we want to take a quick second and do the raffle? Because we didn't do it at the beginning.
Sure, we can do that now.
Yeah, why don't we, and then we'll take a jump.
All right, so we have some stuff we're raffling off. We have some Something Cast t-shirts. We have an iTunes gift card. We have
A Hatton Crate.
We have some tickets out to everybody. We have some tickets here in a bag.
Oh, yeah, we're good. So pull out your tickets, everybody. And I understand this is not fun for the listening audience, but we don't care.
That's right. Hatton, the comic master that he is going to come up with a one-shot graphic novel that will personify this entire thing.
Yes, it'll be called One Ticket.
Bill, manager of Wild Pig Comics, if you want to just... What are we going to do first?
Why don't we do the Hatton Crate, because it's the dumbest.
We're going to do the Hatton Crate first, because it's the silliest. What is she doing?
I have no idea what she's doing over in the corner there. I'm going to listen to this episode later.
All right. Bill, you want to reach in there and grab a ticket?
All right, let's do this.
Bill is reaching into the bag as we speak.
I'm shuffling them around.
Pulling out a ticket.
Pulling out ticket number 387-5963.
Whoa! A two-time winner.
Two-time winner, but he didn't get the shirt.
Right.
So this is a Hatton Crate. In the same way that...
In a graceful and sweet
She's narrating, I see.
There you go.
To hand in his ticket.
Stop it. So yes, it's the box. So let's explain. Loot crates give you loot from a fiction or a fan thing you like. Hatton Crates is just random crap from my house. So why don't we put Chris...
Oh, God.
Something you didn't feel like packing, basically.
Basically, yeah. So what? No, we don't need the box.
Okay. Could be comics, could be video games, could be DVD movies.
I would say we should put him on mic and have him open it. And
Could be cans of tuna fish
I got a knife.
No food. That's gross.
So why don't we, Bill, if you could share mic with Chris real quick?
Oh, of course.
Billy, if you could share mic
yes,
with
of course, yeah.
Josh.
Josh, I'm sorry. I keep saying Chris. Holy crap. It's because I'm a dummy. All right, so Josh has got his opening hole.
The box is open.
The black hole. Okay.
That's
just the hole.
That's worth the price of admission alone.
Right. Yeah. See, look, you get good stuff out of a Hatton Crate.
Now we got it unopened.
Oh, yeah. This is stuff I've never watched.
Gotcha.
That is a sci-fi collection
sci-fi
4-pack.
Sci-fi collection of...
Oh, 4-pack.
Thank God.
Supernova, The Last Sentinel, The Black Hole, and something covered by Best Buy.
Doesn't matter.
Days of something.
It's probably Zardoz.
Planet Earth.
Oh, nice.
Sudden
CDs.
Death, Fatal Era.
That would be... What's his name? Devo Spice.
Devo Spice,
nerd rapper extraordinaire, Sudden Death.
I used to go on stage with him. He's fun.
He's a nice guy.
Within Temptation, The Dance.
Oh, yes.
There you
and
go.
Stand My Ground.
Yeah, there you go.
The gothic days.
Yeah, you got some goth CDs in there.
Got it. A cardboard book of the X-Class.
Yes. You learn all about X-Men and colors.
You didn't even dust them.
All of Hatton's notes are still in the margin of that book.
You've got little bits of Hatton in this Hatton box.
You and
want
cats.
Me to return your Blockbuster movie for you?
No, open it.
It is a blockbuster shell casing.
We got some
for a movie. I don't know. Was there lint in there? Something.
The Emperor and insects? The Assassin. There was the, some of the
great
classic
movie. Great
it's,
movie.
It's in the blockbuster movie case.
and notice, no, that's not the correct blockbuster movie case.
It's
no.
Not the, if you look at that's it's not X. The box for the right movie. No. It's just a shell casing.
Wedding Crashers.
There you that's go, Wedding Crashers. Graphic. See, there's some quality in there.
He's now opening the DVD boxes to make sure the DVD inside is the actual movie.
Oh, I'm not. I'm dead certain that somebody I'm mailing one of these things out to is getting some weird CD full of weird porn that I've saved and hidden away. It's just guaranteed to have happened over
oh,
the years.
Oh, no. All yours for $25. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
I actually seen that movie. That's
a good movie.
There's no,
it's one of those movies where it's like, it's 12 o'clock, I'm not tired, I'm going to watch it.
It's Antonio Banderas. Antonio Banderas. Black and White, White 2. PC game, sir.
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
See? Games that came out nigh 10 years ago.
Raw, 2006 for the PlayStation 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know, Bill. I know.
All right.
Very nice, very nice.
Is there clothes in there? See, oh, it keeps, there's more.
Yeah.
There's more.
You got X-Force and Youngblood.
I will tell you that there are two copies in there. They're the same comic. That was when they were trying variant covers on trade paperbacks. So you get both.
Yeah.
Right.
Two for the price of one.
I'm not super familiar with comics. How did that go over?
It went over very bad.
Oh. Yes,
very poorly.
It's X-Force Youngblood and then the Youngblood X-Force.
Yes,
of course.
Exactly. Liefeldian.
Right. Oh, God.
See, look how much you get in a Hatton crate. These things are just...
Nice.
The greatest American hero.
Hold on. Hit the button. Hit the button. Put that to the mic. That...
Isn't that an entire season?
That is season three.
Apparently they had a third season.
I'm surprised the battery lasted longer than that show did. That's amazing.
That gets you syndication. We got a My Little Pony. The choking
Which
hazard.
One is it?
It was
we had a My Little Pony.
It was
Pony.
A rainbow dash of some sort.
Ooh.
And I don't know what shirt I threw in there. It's one of them.
Coffee Pimp.
Ah, cool. Coffee Pimp. Brought to you by the Caffeines, a webcomic from years ago.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
There you go. There is your Hatton crate.
Was it worth $25?
Woohoo!
Yes.
Good job.
Yes, it was very much worth it. How much was it?
$25.
$25.
On the website. Well, he didn't pay $25.
Retail for $35.99, probably.
Priceless.
I'm okay with that.
All right, so we're going to do... I'm going to do the gift card, too.
Okay, we'll do the gift card next.
And then the important one, which is the shirts.
Right, absolutely. Bill, you want to reach
your... Oh, sure. I'll pull another one here.
This is how we stretch this damn thing out for another...
Absolutely.
We've got ticket number 387-5955.
Yeah!
Whoa! Fact-check Manny. Oh, Allison.
Allison, she's got a $15 gift card to iTunes.
Absolutely. Very good. Very good. Very good.
I hope she actually has an
And now, the piece de resistance.
The pieces of de resistance.
The pieces of the resistance. Obviously, it didn't go very well for them.
No, they were crushed.
In pieces. All right, Bill, one last time. You
All right, one
there?
Last time.
And you would get a Something Cast t-shirt. Keep calming something on.
387... 5966.
Done. Oh, Something
Woo!
Cash.
Hey,
we got a large and an extra large. Is that good for you? Yeah. I can get a 2X to you. I will find out. I will get your email information. We will get you a shirt.
Absolutely.
I will happily do that for you.
Your Absolutely. Name? Congratulations,
Andrew. There you go. Thank you so much for coming out. Or even if you were just in the store and happened to buy tickets, do you listen to us? Or do you listen to us now? Now!
Oh, good answer, sir.
One of us.
So, you know, I'm noticing something real quick before we get back into the show.
Yeah.
I have our webpage pulled up.
We're getting there.
We're at 149 likes on our Facebook page.
Yes.
History could indeed be made like this exact podcast recording.
So what you're saying... Well, no, this was your idea, so please, I'll let you.
So anybody who's here, who's listening to the show, that has a smartphone, pull out your smartphone, pull up our website, our Facebook page.
Young James is on it.
Something Cast.
It's facebook.com/somethingsomethingcast.
Yep, pull out the Facebook page for Something Cast.
And if you are the 150th listener, we might just give you a shirt. I'm just going to slap the phone out of the tall guy so the kid can have one.
Theater of the mind.
Oh, we've got three.
Theater of the mind. Something cast.
I actually just unliked it and then re-liked it.
Madison, that doesn't count. I'm going to have to cut some time out of this part of the show.
Well, now I unliked it again.
This is...
You got it. Oh.
Boom! Woo!
I'm 149.
That's
watch.
A something cast t-shirt.
I'm 150.
No,
I'm
Madison, you are not 150. You unliked the show, so that doesn't count.
Oh, it does.
He gets your shirt.
There's a stack of the shirts in the bedroom.
I don't want that.
You can make a tent out of them. You can make a fort.
We're gonna make a shirt fort.
Done.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for.
Woo. Yeah.
We wanted to give us something back to the community.
Give something back to the community.
So we're giving a little something to the community. Yes, there you go.
There we go. Awesome.
Get a little something, something.
Thank you guys. Thank you for joining us. Now that you listen to the show, you have a shirt. You must. Whenever you can't remember the name of the website, it's on the shirt.
This shirt is a contractual obligation.
Please wash.
To continue to watch the shirt. To continue to watch listen to the show in perputuity.
No, I mean we don't want the reputation.
And to wash the shirt.
People in stinky shirts. That's true. Running around. Oh,
so Captain America: Civil War,
back to
beginning
the show.
Of next year. From there we go to Doctor Strange.
Super excited.
Yeah, the doctor. I have a feeling Doctor Strange. Here's my fear.
Engelbert Humperdinck playing the main.
Yes, we have Slumpty Back, Slut Bunwala playing.
Wow,
it's true, playing Strange, but I love when Doctor Strange is done right. Some of the Strange stories are phenomenal.
Right,
they could really bone it up by introducing magic into the Marvel U.
Well, I think that's their plan, but I do believe they're going to do it the right way. I have every faith that that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's my the power creep issue. Like, all right, we got superpowers, and they got, and now we have interstellar guys, and they have all this super sci-fi space weaponry, and now we have the Inhumans, which are showing up, and they have Terrigen Mists and their own weird mutant powers. Now we have magic. Now we have like multiple levels of what beats what and what wins over what, and it becomes a very hard concept of. They could really screw up Doctor Strange, and I'm worried.
So I don't think you actually have to worry about the power creep,
okay.
Because I think the power creep is actually going to be built into the story. That seems to be... That's usually the way, actually, that the overarching Marvel thing goes, is the power creep, is everybody with powers, the everyman with powers. Like, I see it maybe arcing out almost like Busiek's Earth-X.
It's fair.
Where you're building to some sort of like
Cromulent reference, sir.
Thank you. Where you're building to some sort of massive cohesion of the Marvel universe.
Right, I agree. They have to have a power creep, because if you look at even Iron Man and Thor and Hulk against somebody like Thanos, the heroes have to power creep their way up to be able to match him. Either,
okay.
And it's not going to happen individually, so it has to be combined. And they have to move it to alternate dimensions / cosmic, because that kind of a battle can't happen on planet Earth. It's impossible for that kind of a battle to happen.
They're two huge guns in Scarlet Witch and the Vision. I mean, that is so much more power than they had even one movie ago.
Sure, no, I agree, and that's still nothing compared to, the mad titan that is Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fair
true,
enough,
they're still going to need more.
Yeah, and well, my concern is always with the Scarlet Witch, but they seem to rein her in well enough during Avengers 2. I always worry that they're going to use her as the end-all, be-all answer of any comic book story ever. Hey, look, Scarlet Witch fixes it.
No more movies!
Is Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree that I'm concerned about too many characters going, oh, I have this super megalithic gun. Boom, you're dead.
Yeah.
And that's always a worry. I want my villain to die in a way that feels
belabored, painful, and slightly shaming.
Yeah, I want it to feel at least realistic given the build that we were given.
Well, and I think that once you factor in the Infinity Gauntlet and the power that that's going to have,
right.
you can shoot me with the I kill everything and win gun all you want. The gauntlet can still counter that.
Yeah.
It's a fair point.
I mean, so in Guardians of the Galaxy, they showed off the one stone on its own.
Right.
And I think they did a really good job showing the epic power that comes out of one of these stupid...
Oh, they've been doing it for several movies now, where we've got a couple of different stones.
Yeah, I thought Thor 2 was kind of like, oh, hey, it's a wispy thing that doesn't really do it.
It seemed to do a lot.
Nah.
It made those dark elves badass.
Yeah.
But not compared to, like, you know, the human flesh rendering purple light producing, oh my god, shit
Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah,
that was...
Very Ark of the Covenant.
It'll be interesting to see what happens since one of the stones is currently embedded in the Vision's forehead.
Yes.
We all know what's going to happen
with that. Yeah,
well,
I think he's your sort of Adam Warlock in this variation.
Or sacrificial lamb.
You know, bitch gotta die.
Isn't
to make
that
the
same
gauntlet.
As Adam Warlock?
Was Adam Warlock, did Adam Warlock
he
have to sacrifice
like,
himself
not
for
in,
it?
Not in Gauntlet, but I think he's had to sacrifice himself in various points of the
Fair enough. I mean, it just seems to me that Vision is slated to die. Like, it's not even a question.
Well, I mean, to be fair, to complete the set, you've got to take the thing out of his head.
Exactly.
True.
And that is his magic top hat.
Right. Oh. Happy birthday.
Oh.
No, but that is a fair enough point. And, I mean, if you look at it in even a different perspective, since he is... a basically self-aware android.
Yeah.
They're not really losing any humanity by sacrificing the robot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he has enough personality that there will be a...
Okay.
There will be a feeling of loss, but it's not the same as like Tony Stark dying Captain America dying.
Right. And it's that same theory that I have that the opening of the movie is just Hawkeye's farmhouse and just explosion. Like, and now we are all sad.
We need to bring it back to the sad part.
It's true. But
so the Vision is basically a Nikki and Paolo that you can care about.
God.
Wow.
Damn it.
It's it.
Wow.
No one likes it.
Tell me
Nikki
I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
That's what makes it hurt all the more.
That's your
damn it.
The sharpest of blows. The twistiest of daggers. So do you think Doctor Strange is going to, by the end of all of these, do you think each one of these movies is going to have them all sort of meeting up with the Avengers on their way to Mount Mordor, a.k.a. facing off against Thanos? Because if you continue along with the line of movies we have Civil War, which is going to destroy and then unite the Avengers under one banner.
Right.
Theoretically.
We have Doc Strange.
Yep.
Then we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yep.
Then Untitled Spider-Man Film.
Yep.
Which is the official title. We have Thor Ragnarok.
And then
Infinity War Part 1.
Yep.
So I would like to believe that each one of these movies, they're sort of just picking these people up as their, you know, end of the movie, off we go to Oz.
I really think Infinity War Part 1 is going to come close to ending the same way the Fellowship of the Ring did, where Thanos is going to be doing some badass shit. The Avengers are going to be piecing together the teams that they have and, you know, making all their phone calls and getting the group together.
Boromir is going to get gutted.
But I don't think there's going to be much of an interaction between the two
before
the actual
Bean, I'm sorry.
End of the movie. because I really think that has to... They're going to get their rear ends handed
to them. Oh, of course. Yeah, you can.
By the end of the first movie.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah.
Why didn't they cast Sean Bean as the Vision? I'm sorry.
They could have cast Sean Bean in so many dead people.
But, oh...
But I do think you're right. I do think we're going to have to see end of movie, everybody wait out. We're going to see as close to Tony's Vision of everybody dead at the end of the first movie as any possible. Like, that's going to be it.
That would actually be really cool. If the way Avengers Infinity War Part 1 ends is Thanos standing on this, like, mountain of rock and skulls and just broken and beaten Avengers just lying strewn about his feet.
One of them
Credit
could be Sean Bean.
Nice.
And then, like, the one credit stinger is, you know, Tony Stark is sitting in his house, like, holding his knees and rocking back and forth, watching all the Avengers get their ass beat. He's finally like, okay, I have to make up with Steve. Steve, I'm sorry. We got to go out there and save these guys.
I actually also like the stinger is still the same scene with Thanos sitting on the throne of bones and just, the movie's over. Go home. Just Ferris Bueller it.
What are you waiting for?
That would be awesome.
We're done. They're dead.
It's over.
don't go see the next one.
End your narrative here.
Yeah.
Why have you suddenly become the College Humor Batman?
Actually, I believe that's Triple H's voice.
No, Triple H is much further in the back.
Sounds the same.
So, in between part one and part two, you still have Black Panther and a Captain Marvel movie.
So, basically, it's going to be all the Avengers we're aware of, totally dead, and then the Prince of Wakanda! And he's going to save everything. I like this.
Well, no,
this
is before. This is actually, or is that in between
before
one and two?
Before part two, yeah.
Part one, you're going to have what we've been calling the Marvel B-Team.
Right.
Yeah.
Which will probably be War Machine, Scarlet Witch, more than likely Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Vision. And maybe Captain America, still leading them.
As a trainer, yeah.
Possibly Ant-Man. And then you introduce Black Panther, Captain Marvel into the mix, which is even more power cosmic.
In between
true.
One and two.
Yeah. Supposedly. That's the current way.
But those are, you know what?
Black Panther shows up and Marvel shows up and they just obliterate Thanos, just the two of them.
That could be it. These could be our ringers.
Yeah.
And also, finally, the end to the White Boy Parade. So done with the white boy parade of Marvel movies.
So, Bill, you've got Falcon.
Getting racial
though.
For you. That's interesting.
It is.
You don't know the movie,
but that's
machine, yeah.
Cool black sidekick, bro. But I'm ready for somebody who's not the white boy to be the star of one
of
these
films. I'm with you. And you want to know what? She showed me the picture of Black Panther.
He's too smiley.
Oh no, he fits the bill for me. Like
so smiley.
He's gonna have a full face mask on.
Well, good. He can smile behind the mask.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks like the Christopher Priest. Black Panther.
Nice.
Yeah.
No,
Chris will be happy.
I know. Exactly. They can't go with. They will not go with the Reggie Hudlin version.
Ecstatic.
They need to go Christopher Priest.
And now, we've already seen Claw, who really, I'm really excited for the pink and purple spandex.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And the satellite hand.
Oh yeah. But
he's gonna look so good on screen. Yeah.
He's got a ray gun.
Can't keep it up.
But his name's Claw.
He's going to be doing commercials. I'm the Claw with DirecTV. I'm the Claw that just has cable.
Wow. He's also going to have a cat and go after Gadget. Let it sink in.
Next time, I'll get you, Gadget. Next time.
Oh.
As far as what Marvel has slated, they cap everything off with the Inhumans.
Which I would like to believe is going to be where all of these things finally kind of rubber meets road, where we have all of the Netflix shows, all of the movies, everything sort of goes, okay, and now we have an entire interstellar race of mutant people who gain their abilities from secret mists and their former humans and celestial kind of dividends. I would like everything to kind of culminate in that. I really would like to see...
So
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil, and all those guys get into the mix in the movie universe.
If I understand this correctly, the only celestial we are aware of right now is the half-celestial of Star-Lord, right?
No, well...
Is that even confirmed?
That's not even
what
confirmed.
He is?
It's not. They insinuate
it. He's something else.
They do insinuate it. Really tightly. You're correct. But it's not confirmed. They did show the history... Where they show the ancient people and the celestial and
exactly, and it was a really big guy, and it looked kind of like the blinky light guy.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know that they're going to go too deep into that, other than historically.
He might not
because that shit's weird as a comic reader.
Right.
That stuff's weird.
He might be celestial.
Well, I mean, I thought that's how they were explaining him not immediately imploding.
Yeah, well, they definitely are going to give a nod to what gave him the ability to accept the Infinity Gem and not explode.
Yeah,
right.
He held on to it a long time before he got help. And yes, it was the help that eventually overcame the black darkness creeping. But
yeah, yeah.
Right.
I would like to believe they'll tie everything together. We have to hope that the big plan will stay fit. I think that stuff would be very part of the Captain Marvel movie. If there was something that ties into that, that'll be Captain Marvel.
Now, if we look at the way they have this stuff slated out, we've got Civil War and Doc Strange next year. And then it's not until 2017 that we get Guardians 2, Spider-Man, and Thor. And then 2018 that we get another Avengers movie.
Yeah, it's a while. We got some time.
Marvel didn't even have a presence at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Really?
Nobody really did this.
To pivot away from this into the competition, there's a lot of people that are saying that Dawn of Justice and the Suicide Squad movie are going to take a serious amount of market share away from Marvel.
Absolutely.
Because
not.
They had no presence out at Comic-Con and they don't really have anything
They've
of
got
that
a booth
scope
at Disney.
Coming out. Yeah, but while true.
But yeah. It is Warner Brothers. I mean, it's not like it's a small company. It's not like we're talking about Disney versus, you know, Steve.
No, but it's also, this is also a thing that has been historically crap. It might as well be Disney versus Steve.
You know,
because there hasn't been a particularly good live-action DC movie outside of, say,
the Batman,
the Nolan Batmans. I like those, but those don't even really fit into necessarily
that
DC superhero theme framework.
If you've seen the trailers for Dawn of Justice and for the Suicide Squad, Steve might actually have made better decisions.
I disagree.
Marvel might be more worried about Steve.
I think they feel that they have to be because it's Steve. Because it's DC. It's the distinguished competition.
Other than a very tight cast on Harley Quinn, I am not at all interested and probably don't want to pay for a movie ticket to go see this.
I was intrigued by Harley Quinn. I'm now interested since I've seen her in Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, did you see her in Wolf of Wall Street where she plays Harley Quinn?
She's a great actress. But that doesn't change the fact that I've been burned by every DC-branded anything in the last 10 years, so I'm pretty done.
What's killing me about the DC thing, and I know this is completely away from the Marvel stuff, but it relates, I guess, sort of, is... DC does really great TV shows.
Oh, yes, they do.
The Flash is fun. Arrow's fun. All of the shows that they've done.
Fun's not great.
Not great, but it's at least it's a flavor of comic book television that works.
Yes, agreed.
And the fact that they're going, so we have these TV shows about these characters. We're now going to introduce you to these characters in the movies that are not those characters that you saw. They're not the people. They're not the storylines you've been watching for 3 years that are doing well.
That bothers me.
That's where DC doesn't get it.
Yeah, see, that's the fault for
I'm
me.
I'm actually rocking back and forth right now. They're just screwing the whole thing. I mean, it's not even... Well,
it's a joke that I made to Hatton, I think it was almost last year at the year one, where everybody talks about Marvel's shared universe, and how everybody wants in on it. There's the movie monster universe that they want to do.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
There's the DC universe. What if DC realizes too late that when Marvel said shared universe, they didn't just mean movie universe, but they meant movie, TV show, Netflix shared universe, and DC's doing exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
They said they want to bring in Arrow and Flash and stuff down the road, but it's not going to be the people you know from the TV show, and I think that's a huge mistake.
I agree.
Huge mistake.
Because that's the one thing that's similar to how Marvel built their shared universe by having individual movie franchises that people could get behind and relate and then put them all together.
Seriously, we're going to be telling our kids about having to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so the movie didn't get spoiled for us.
Right,
and then having to go back the next week, how tight that was all done.
Yeah.
And they'll say, Dad, shut up. We're going to go watch the Hollow Pictures with Phase 35.
God. You are old.
I'm going to live until Hollow Pictures.
Malavision.
I believe that was 1992.
They've done an amazing job of telling an origin story that you can buy for Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
They're doing a really decent one with the Atom. They've done a real fun one, admittedly, for Flash. Maybe not like deep and thunderous, but it's at least fun.
Right.
And so instead of that, we're going to go, okay, here's Guy Gardner and Oliver Queen, new, totally different guys. And it's just blah, blah, blah.
Ooh, Guy Gardner?
Not Guy Gardner. You know what I meant.
I was going to say, it's actually, Kyle Jordan? I think Taye Diggs is actually.
Kyle Rayner?
John
Stewart?
Those are Green Goblins.
Lanterns.
I know.
Oh. Are you sure?
I was the joke.
Okay.
What's the old Flash guy's name? Which one's the old Flash?
Barry Allen.
No,
Wally West.
That was what I was trying to remember.
How do I remember no comic book stuff?
I don't do DC. I'm a Marvel, not a DC.
Okay.
I'm a PC, not a Mac. It's just the way it rolls.
I don't care about Barry and Hal. Kyle and Wally all the way.
Okay.
That was when I got into comics, and it was Morrison and Wade's JLA were
There's
my favorite team.
There's your problem. That explains so much.
Those were great JLA books.
I know. I just have a thing against Morrison.
Plastic Man was on the team.
Yeah.
Plastic Man was on the team.
Anyway.
Have you seen the trailer for Dawn of Justice?
Yeah, I did. I think I'm not against a Fleck
right.
as the Bat. I'm willing to give him a shot. Because I think he wasn't the problem with Daredevil, for example.
Nope.
The script of Daredevil was.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
I'm willing to give him a shot. I like that they're tying in some of the Elseworlds stuff I really love from Batman. He's got the Red Sun costume on, which I love. But I don't know. Superman is hard to make work. It's just a proven thing. Superman's hard to make.
Superman would be a really good TV show.
The one thing I didn't like
and has been in the past
about really the Dawn of Justice trailer was it looks like the first 25% of Dawn of Justice is going to be the last 25% of Man of Steel shown to you again, but now we're going to put Bruce Wayne into the crowd to make him have to, Superman, damn you, kind of thing. The thing I liked is the suit that has the spray paint on it that says, ha-ha, the joke's on you, is a Robin suit.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh.
Oh, are you talking about the whole fan theory for this incarnation of the Joker?
Yes.
I did see that fan theory, but I was intrigued by that just to begin with. So now this is like a much more angrier Batman than even the Christopher Nolan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has experienced more recent loss.
Yes.
I will
say the fan theory for Suicide Squad, I find interesting, and I think I would like it. But even the fan theory would take so much more work to explain to people who don't already understand it than it's going to take just to explain the characters of the movie that the people don't understand.
Just to be clear, before anybody else jumps in, just for people who aren't aware or who are listening, the fan theory is that the Joker isn't, in fact, the Joker we've come to know and love as Joker. It is, in fact, Jason Todd, former Robin, who was beaten to death by a baseball bat by the Joker.
Crowbar.
Might be leading into the Killing Joke storyline.
That's not going to happen because they're actually making a Killing Joke animated movie.
Well, Hamill's pushing for it.
Animate that.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Hamill wants to.
He said he would come out of retirement to do it, and now they're already greenlighting a Killing Joke movie. And the fan theory he'll come back to do the voice for that.
There's going
to
be
Joker's dialogue in that book is so good, though.
That might actually have to be an executive decision about they can't market Killing Joke to kids. Period.
They haven't
Robert
been
Gordon does get
so, so doing it as a cartoon might be a mixed message. So doing it live action
it's
actually might be the
fair
right
enough
choice.
And then she, you know,
God, I never
takes
thought
the
I'd say that
spinal incision.
I think it'll be fantastic.
I think it'll be fantastic. I think there's a room for adult cartoons.
Most of their recent animated pictures
oriented
have had a more adult bent to them.
This is a level though.
It's a level, but because of the book associated with it, like Flashpoint is not necessarily for kids.
No.
That has beheadings and shit.
Wow. Right. And the fan theory, as stated, does have precedent in the fact that Jason Todd was Red Hood for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to justify it by saying, look, he's already used discarded Joker personality.
Yeah, followed
beforehand.
This Joker arc.
So
it's a fanny theory. I'm interested in it. I think it got to, like, they get to the point where it's like, there's a J tattooed on his face. Yeah.
Yeah, Joker starts with a J.
Yeah, Joker starts with a J. Well, it could be Jason.
But yeah. I would be behind Jason Todd being the Joker more than this being the incarnation of the Joker.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not against either idea.
He's so far from any other incarnation of the Joker that has ever been put out there on film that I think they're going to fail unless they make it this is somebody who really, really wants to be the Joker that has kind of made himself in the Joker persona.
So do you saw the
Suicide Squad
trailer?
I did, and it was the first time I actually literally did a head desk.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Absolutely. Like, hi. I've said it. I've typed. We're sitting there watching it, and number one, Will Smith is going to play the same character that he's played in every movie that he's ever done. You. But the fact that he sits there
Welcome
and goes,
Welcome to Gotham.
So we the patsies, huh?
Gotham.
Some sort of Suicide Squad. It was just head. You don't say the name of the movie in the trailer of the movie that
in. We don't do Bill Cosby impressions anymore. That one's out too.
I completely. That wasn't even a Bill Cosby. That was just me just
with
angst
the bats in the vine.
No,
the
Camille.
Exactly.
No, that part just killed me.
Yeah, I
I think I repressed that part, actually.
Oh, it was terrible.
And then
the very next clip is him cocking the gun. Let's go say the world. I'm like, okay, against aliens or Artemis Gordon or whoever else you're fighting this
week.
Do you
want to know when I knew I was out? When I realized the song. I spent the first half of the trailer trying to figure out what song was playing. And then I went, it's the Bee Gees. They're using a Bee Gees song to promote their villain movie.
But this has also become a trend. I mean, we did that whole thing about movie posters. This is almost a movie trailer trend where we're going to take a song and we're going to have it sung in a very different tempo by some sort of angelic chorus in the background to make our movie feel like it has more gravitas to it.
I agree. Billy, what'd you think of the Suicide Squad trailer?
I
You haven't seen it?
I don't. No, I've seen it. I don't care. I don't care. Let me say, this is the worst Marvel Cinematic Universe panel that I've ever been on.
Well, we're talking the competition.
I know, I'm
this
joking.
This is a second episode.
I like we've been saying, I've just been burned by DC too much to care. I know I'll see the movie, but I'm not getting my hopes up in any fashion about either of these films, which are basically like a worse version of Miller's Dark Knight Returns than the Nolan version, which already basically did that.
Right.
And did it really well. The part that mattered, not the Superman fight in the back, because Ronald Reagan said so. And
wow.
And Suicide Squad is... It just seems really dumb to do Batman, Superman, Suicide Squad, maybe Wonder Woman? I mean, Wonder Woman's coming down the line, but...
She's in the trailer.
She's in the trailer for Dawn of Justice.
Right, but we're not getting her movie until after Suicide Squad?
Right.
Like, Suicide Squad should not be the face of your new movie universe.
But it's dark and edgy and adult, Bill.
Right, totally.
I'm gonna give you a face
probably not going to be funny
and
at all.
Hysterical laughter moment.
Okay, go ahead.
There are people in the industry that are pinning Suicide Squad as an Avengers killer.
Who are they?
You're right, thank you.
Yeah.
Allow me.
Their theory is that when you go into an Avengers movie, you know who the good guys are, you know who the bad guys are, you know the good guys are going to win. It may be hard for them, but you know who's going to come out on top.
Sure.
Suicide Squad movie is all a bunch of villains anyway, so there's no guarantee any of them are going to make it to the end because they could all just turn on each other and eat each other throughout the movie.
DC is trying to come across like they might weed in their entire main character line.
That might be the smartest move for them to make.
We did it all, guys. We did it all.
But then
the Joker's purple Lamborghini pulls up, the door opens up, the clown car, all of them comes out, and one giant Reaver spike just right through all of them.
The new Sean Bean meme is going to be that the Joker always dies.
The Joker, well,
yes.
Prove it. There's no body.
Very nice.
That was Nicholson.
Yes.
No, really?
That was for other people, not you. I was saying
that was
little,
actually just a.
I don't agree with those people,
box.
But those I've
it's
read
not,
a number
it's
of
not
those
going
articles.
To, first of all,
we're going to walk out of that movie going, Margot Robbie is an amazing actress. She was just shit Harley Quinn because of the script, but she was good, and that's about that.
Avengers 3 Part 1 is going to destroy that right away because, I mean, we know.
Right.
And now we're
because
telling
we
everyone.
Are insiders.
But no, the Avengers are going to die at the end of that movie. Spoiler alert.
Disclaimer, no one here knows anything about inside information.
Re-disclaimer, we know everything.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Seriously. We haven't been wrong yet.
That's true. That's true. We have yet to be proven wrong. And I'm not going to go back and
we're
listen.
We're talking about Marvel. This is, yeah, no. Marvel's
I'm not going
win.
To go back and listen to the old episode to prove that. You
right.
have to.
Yeah, you have to do the work. Oh, we know.
So what else do we got on the list?
Can we talk about Jessica Jones?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, let's please discuss that.
Because there are five words. David Tennant as Purple Man.
And I already have an erection.
Whoa.
Because he told you to.
That's exactly.
Whoa.
Purple Man is by far my favorite Marvel sub-character villain.
He's absolutely scary.
It's because of his work in Alias.
Where he now, walked into a Denny's and thought everyone was bothering him, so they told them to kindly... He said, please kindly stop breathing, and continued to eat his moons over my hammy.
Yeah, it's brilliant. He's
for the
vicious.
For those of us, because I am not familiar with Purple Man, just give us a little bit
of
background.
Coming on Netflix after now Daredevil, the next one coming up is Marvel's Jessica Jones, based on Bendis comic Alias...
Which is coming back into print in trade paperback, two volumes, very soon.
Highly recommended for you to read. Basically, Bendis did this really cool idea about a woman who looks at kind of superheroes with a bit of disdain, and you don't know why, and she's a private detective, and she handles cape cases, and you're not there's a subplot going on you're not aware of.
Eddie Valiant.
Lo and behold, you come to find out that she was, for a very brief half a second, on the Avengers. And what happened to her and why she's fallen from grace and why does she know some superheroes and not others? It all comes into play as to what happened to her. And it's the big secret of the book. I will not go any further into that other than Purple Man is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being played by Doctor Who's Barty Crouch's David Tennant.
Okay.
And there's no better to play. And it'll be interesting to see him because Purple Man is just a slimy, scummy creepoid.
David Tennant is going to make him... frightening.
Yeah. I think David Tennant is going to knock him out of this world.
So is this person, not knowing much about Purple Man at all, is this type of personality, the image I'm getting is the end of Waters on Mars when the 10th Doctor kind of goes a little crazy, like, screw you, I have all this power, I'm going to use it, I don't give a crap if it's wrong, fuck you all.
He's not even that power mad. He's
just using it.
He's crazy. He's just using it, but in petty ways. He has, his power is that if you're in the same room, if you're breathing the same air as him, he can tell you what to do, and that is what you do.
And you do it.
Okay. And you do it.
So he has no compunctions about doing it.
He's crazy, yeah, but he's not megalomaniacal in the way that where he's going to go take over a country or anything. He's just out for himself.
Right, okay.
But that's even almost scarier.
And id, with no ego to rein it in.
Yep,
gotcha.
Perfect.
Okay.
So when you look at Daredevil with the street level, like, you have Daredevil, who's just a dude who can fight exceptionally well and has slightly enhanced powers. Street level, he's perfect. Kingpin, big boss guy, street level, he's perfect. They need to make now Purple Man, who has this power that could legitimately be considered super, super power. But since he's just very selfish, he's just at all about him, it works really well as a street level power in a street level world.
Yeah. Gotcha.
They might even rein his power level back.
Sure.
Because that's the ability to just tell people what to do is almost Avengers level. But. Yeah.
Same air, though. I mean, scuba suit. Shouldn't that just...
He's not going to go up against Iron Man, who's got his own self-contained...
Honey, where's my super suit?
No, just give Daredevil a stupid scuba pack and send him in there, and he'll beat him up.
Well,
and Purple Man goes, got me again.
I think in her own show, Jessica will be able to take him out.
Nice.
But...
So what else do we have? You see, you brought up the Netflix list. What else we got
on
there?
After Jessica Jones, we have Marvel's Luke Cage.
Yes.
And then we have Marvel's Iron Fist. And then that whole thing is going to get tied together in Marvel's The Defenders.
And Daredevil Season 2 is coming before even many of those, too.
Many of those.
I think before Luke Cage, at least.
2016, so it's going to be around the same. It's going to be the same year.
Yeah, they're showing their show. Yes, you're right. Marvel 2016. So Jessica Jones come out. About the same time as Luke Cage comes out, we'll get Daredevil Season 2, and then to be announced, Iron Fist, to be announced, The Defenders.
So are the only two things that are going to be aired on television going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter?
That's as of now, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And Agent Carter, I don't think, is going to be a long-running one.
Well, they got
Season
2.
Oh, okay.
I think it's going to be a mid-show replacement again.
Okay, I got you.
But I'm getting word from above.
Well, oh. I know.
Let's bring it to epic.
We got a tournament at 4, guys.
I understand.
Let's wrap it up.
There's cardboard crack that needs to be dealt.
Seriously. As important as we are.
Yes, I understand. For the dozens
and dozens
of Something Cast listeners. So, let's go. Why don't we go down the line and the thing you are most looking forward to for phase 2 of the Marvel U? Why don't we.
Phase 3.
Sure. For the future of the Marvel U.
Yes.
Aha. Mads, what do you think? What is the thing you're looking forward to the most? Bill, what do you think?
I said it before, the opening up of the casting and a greater diversity of characters at the forefront.
I like that. Mads, you got it?
I actually think I'm looking forward to see Thor lead, because I think that's where the movie order is actually going, where Thor is going to have the inside info and he's going to be leading the charge into.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like your theory. I'm going to say I'm personally looking forward to all of. I'm looking forward to Strange and Jessica Jones. Those are the two I'm looking forward to the most. The minute they announced Jessica Jones, I was all over it.
You're just excited about Bember Bumble Cumberdink.
Yes. No. That's. No. I just like Strange. But I think the next year is going to be. There's going to be fun stuff. And, yeah, that's it for me. It's really just about Strange and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I mean, the capper of the Infinity War has something that I've been looking forward to since the first Avengers movie. That's where I hoped they were going to go with it. But I am looking forward to Strange to see them add that new mystical component to the MCU. And I am a Benedict Cumberbatch fan. I'll watch him read the phone book. and I just recently started again watching season 3 of Sherlock.
Oh,
and I think
so
a lot of his genius and knowledge as Sherlock is something that he can bring to Doctor Strange, because he's going to have knowledge none of these other people are going to know because of his knowledge of alternate dimensions and the mystic arts and stuff. And
what's great about Strange is he has a similar ego as Sherlock.
Oh, yeah.
Ego-wise, not like skill-wise, it's different. But he's got a similar ego, Sherlock and Stranger.
I have three things on this topic. One, that second episode of season 3, possibly one of the best episodes of television.
Oh, the wedding.
Period.
Oh, yeah.
That I've ever seen. If anybody is interested in Doctor Strange, he's got a new book coming up this fall, too, that is starting at number one with a really great creative team of Jason Aaron and Chris Bacalo. And
I highly recommend the Oath
by Brian Vaughn. Yeah, which Vaughn, who has not written a bad comic book.
True.
Is it, in your opinion, would reading that comic book help explain Das und Hubijub, so the movie makes more sense?
I wouldn't count on it to do that, but it will be a good, enjoyable place to pick up that character if you're looking to do that before the movie. That's going to be a good place to do it, especially because Doctor Strange doesn't usually carry his own title,
and his side characters are so strange. Not intentional. I just realized I said it as I said it.
And that brings up my third point: Martin Freeman as Dormammu.
Well, no, Martin Freeman's in Civil War.
Oh, that's right. Ah, man, we lost that then.
Yeah, the theory is that he's going to be the government liaison to try to rein in people for
Martin
the superpowers.
Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah.
So the new Coulson.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
It's going, you can play a dragon,
he's the
I
guy
can play
from the government
too.
Who's
going
to be going around, I need you to sign this paper and tell me what your powers are. Oh, you don't want to? Guys, he's next.
Evil Coulson.
He ends up working with the Avengers
it might be like
down the road.
Oswald.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah.
Maybe 8 of them. Got it. Okay.
So, that brings us to the end.
Yeah, that being said, for the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network,
ooh,
we are the Something Something Cast.
And we want to thank everybody who came out. We want to thank our panel. And we have another year ahead of us.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Wild Pig Comics. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Wild Pig Chris. Thank you,
pleasure.
All of our audience members, for coming out for the show.
Please do as we ask and applaud.
Yep. You can find us and other podcasts of interest on IJOV.net.
And, of course, you can find us at somethingcast.com. All of the information is there. And let us know what you're looking forward to in the next wave. And we will see you in the next year.
From Hatton Studios, Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Cue panic attack.
Yes.
Awesome.
So, I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And we will see you guys later.
Later.
Together and we'll get it undone. Someday when your head is much lighter. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday when the world is much brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter. Things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter.
Check, check. Mic test.
How's
it doing?
A little bit further back.
A little bit further back.
Oh, you're golden.
A little bit further back.
Excellent, that's exactly where you should be.
Back and to the left.
You're back and to the left.
Back and to the left.